the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Wednesday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Johnny Hebert and David Dawson. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey, hey.
Good morning, everybody.
Johnny was just commenting about the burning in bush. What were you saying, Johnny, yeah, earlier, well, before we went on the air?
Our first read today is about the burning bush, and I think it's burning everywhere, including in Bush.
In Bush, Louisiana, it is burning.
Yeah, so man.
I hope everyone is enjoying your summer and, yeah, taking those precautions for sure, you know. Well, let's get our day started off in prayer, you know, and we're going to remember and ask the intercession of St. Mary MacKillop this morning as we pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we begin this day, we come to you with gratitude and wonder at your creative hand in the world and in our lives. We ask that you reveal yourself to us in a special way today, that we may serve you and bring glory to your holy name in our thoughts and in our words and in our actions. Grant us a childlike trust and an innocence in accepting that your will for us, knowing that you desire only our good and our happiness. We pray all this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. St. Mary MacKillop,
pray for us.
Pray for us. We will learn more about our saint of the day later on in today's show, but we're joined by Johnny Hebert with a gospel reflection coming up in 5 minutes. We're always looking forward to Johnny's gospel reflections. In 18 minutes, Peter Finney joins us. He is the editor-in-chief of the Clarion Herald, the official Catholic newspaper of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And today he's going to be giving us an update of what you'll be finding in this week's issue in the Archdiocese. In 35 minutes, Father Chris Decker joins us. He's a pastor over at St. Mary's of False River in Euros, one of my favorite places in the entire world, and also our director of mission here at Catholic Community Media. Today, we're talking about Eucharistic devotion, the revival, and just how to get closer to our Lord through the Eucharist. So looking forward to hearing from Father Chris today. And in 48 minutes, Michael Borg joins us. He is the executive director of St. Vincent de Paul in New Orleans. They have a lot of things going on and they need our help. So he's going to give us details about how they're doing and how we can help those who need the most help in the New Orleans area through St. Vincent de Paul. So we're looking forward to today's show and some great guests. And I wanted to say that if you have an event happening in your parish, school, or organization, you can send it to us absolutely free at our website at ccmedia.live. Click on Events and News, and then click on Submit Your Event, and we'll talk about it on our morning show, and we'll also post it on our website calendar. Even if you have those recurrent events, we have a lot of retreats or eight-week sessions or even those groups that gather together, whether it's a grief group or those who are just gathering together to quilt or make prayer blankets. That's another one that I've been posting about. Just something cool like that. We'll post it on our website as well. So
I've had, it's been an interesting week because I've had some calls here at the studios in Baton Rouge and folks are saying, can I get my event on the air? We have something coming up in November. We have something coming up in the fall. We have something.
Yes,
and they say, so what is it going to cost me? And it's like, no, just do it. This is our job. We're supposed to get the word out about things like this.
Yes.
Stuff that's coming up. And there's so much awesome stuff coming up.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Definitely. Yep. Check out our calendar. There's so many things on there. We would love to have yours posted on there as well. We have your gospel and reflection coming up right after the break. It is 5 past the hour on Wake Up.
A good Wednesday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. At that time, Jesus exclaimed, I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker, who we'll be talking to just in live very, very shortly. Get some reflection from him on it even then. You know, guys, this is one of those few prayers that of Jesus that's been preserved for us. And here Jesus is exclaiming out loud this in wonder and exaltation, this spontaneous, beautiful prayer, his deepest feeling coming to the surface. You know, and the Catechism actually points out how this spontaneous joy, this prayer, is an echo of Our Lady's prayer, the Blessed Virgin Mary's exaltation, you know, in her fiat. And it's because both her prayer and Jesus' prayer here today, they're a praise, first of all, and wonder, and they confirm that God is the Lord of all, lifting up the lowly and leaving the self-righteous, you know, in their ignorance. Both are echoing this intense awareness of God's presence in mystery, and that it's revealed only to those who live their lives basically in the will of God the Father. So it's this connection, this kind of continuity there, which is wisdom itself. So it's no surprise that this prayer comes right after Jesus pretty much chews out these cities that have rejected him. And these are cities he had just visited and done all these great works, and yet they wouldn't believe. And they say, these people that rejected him, that they were acted as if they were wise. But Jesus points out how irrational this so-called wisdom is. So it's the humble, the poor, those who have placed their lives and their certainty in God that brings such joy to them. And Jesus echoes this. It is these people, these lowly, these humble, these open to the will of God that are the gifted ones, because they put their ego aside and can see God working. This is wisdom, just as Jesus is wisdom itself, and Our Lady is actually called the seed of wisdom. So I love, you know, you reflect on this with kids especially. You know, and I was reading a story about a little boy, and he was flying a kite. His grandfather was teaching him how to fly a kite up on this high hill, and the kite gets hidden by the clouds, but the boy, you know, is kind of learning how to feel the kite and everything, and the grandfather's kind of teasing, and he says, "Hey, Robbie," his little boy's name is Robbie, "maybe some thief stole your kite, you know, behind that cloud, because I can't see it." And the little boy shakes his head and says, "You know, I know it's still there." And he says, "How do you know it's still there?" And the little boy says, "Because I can feel what you can't. I can feel the kite tugging at my string." And that smile on the boy's face, you know, and he looks at his grandfather and has this look of joy and wonder and appreciation to the grandfather for showing him that. And I think that kind of story just shows the power of the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that acts in every heart, especially the young, because don't they intuitively know that something and someone outside of themselves gives them meaning and purpose, identity, love? And they accept it instinctively, and it forms the very core of who they are. And they see things in wonder, but with the mindset of play. Mm-hmm. Uninterested in these complexities, you know, that come later, the cynicism, the politics. And they can't wait for the next adventure. They can't wait for the laughter. They can't wait for this next discovery. And that's what our Lord is calling us to imitate, right?
Oh, boy.
So
I would love that.
Yes, I know.
Take me back to those days.
You know, it was great because... You're absolutely right, Johnny. I don't know about you, but when I was a child, I couldn't wait to become a teenager. And when I was a teenager, I couldn't wait to become an adult. And as an adult, I wish I was a child again.
Yeah. That's right.
But, you know, that wonder of what's next or what's coming around the corner. At least fortunately for me, and I know a lot of people don't have this experience, but you have that trust in your parents to take care of you, to guide you, and you have that peace. And that, as an adult, I have that feeling with Jesus and God a lot of times as well. Of course, yeah. The devil's tempting you all of the time, especially with things going on in our world constantly every day,
yeah.
with your phone and social media and the news. But having that childlike trust in the Lord that he has the best for you, like your parents did whenever you were a child, that's something that I strive to do. And I think is good. It leads to peace.
We
as
all
well.
Should. You know, when my daughter, Anna, you know, when she was little, we had this book. It was called Mr. God, This Is Anna. And I kind of was one of the reasons we named her Anna. But it's the story by this guy named Flynn. It's the story of this little orphan girl who has this fairly deep awareness and this relationship with God. And she talks to God in prayer all the time. And she comes out with these powerful truths about her discussions with God. And she shares them with Flynn, who's kind of her adopted father. And so one day she's trying to explain God to her adopted, to Flynn, his father. And in one exchange, Flynn's asking Anna about how we can see things like God does, you know. And so little Anna says to Flynn, she says, "Flynn, the problem is that we all only have different points of view. And a lot of times the rocks are blocking our view.
Mm-hmm.
But God has a viewing point. To see everything. So simple. You know, so we may never get to the top of that hill and see it all in this lifetime, but, you know, I think that being like little Anna here and trusting that God sees what we don't, and when we accept his will for us, we know it's been only for our good because he sees what we cannot. He has that single point of view, whereas we're so constrained by so many things in our way. And to have that childlike attitude, right, of awe and wonder and gratitude. And that's the secret to happiness. That's wisdom with a capital W, right?
Mm. I love that. To back up, to be able to see the forest and not just the trees in front of us. A lot of times, Johnny, that's what Bishop Barron always talks about, is how our own egos get in the way of everything that God is trying to give us as gifts, and to keep our minds open and free. And we just have a tendency to clutter it up with the things that bother us about us, and it's all about us, right?
Yeah, and you know, we have there's all these discussions about God and his nature and stuff, and you know, and what's interesting in the gospel today is, despite all the philosophical arguments and between atheists and non-believers, you know, it comes down to this. If you want to know who God is, if you want to know God the Father, come to know Jesus.
Yep.
He's one with him. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Well, stay with us. We're going to catch up with Peter Finney. We're going to hear about what's happening. And yes, back to school. Oh, no. All the kids said, oh, no. No, I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that word, did I? All right. It's quarter past the hour now. You've tuned your heart to the truth. We'll be right back with Peter Finney.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for July 19th. Today we celebrate St. Mary MacKillop. Born in Melbourne in 1842 to parents who had immigrated from Scotland, Mary grew up in a family that faced constant financial struggles. Drawn to religious life, she couldn't find an existing order of sisters that met her needs. Assisted by her spiritual director, Mary founded a new community, the Sisters of St. Joseph of the Sacred Heart, also known as the Josephite Sisters. Its members were to staff schools, especially for poor children, build orphanages, and do other works of charity. As the congregation grew, so did Mother MacKillop's problems. Charged with disobedience by the Bishop of South Australia, she was briefly excommunicated and 50 of her sisters were dispensed from their vows. Ultimately, the excommunication order was rescinded, and the new order obtained canonical status, which protected it from the local clergy. The Josephite sisters were able to offer social services for Catholics and Protestants alike that few, if any, Australian government agencies could match. They worked among the Aborigines and ministered to unwed mothers. Her congregation was thriving as Mary MacKillop approached the end of her life. She died in 1909 and was canonized in 2010, making her Australia's first saint. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
How about that? Australia's first saint. It's 7:18. Cool. Or it's 18 past the hour, because where you're listening, it may not be 7. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith and Johnny Hebert. And right now we got Peter Finney. He's the editor-in-chief of the Clarion Herald, the official newspaper of the Archdiocese in New Orleans. Good morning, Peter.
Hey, good morning, David. How are you?
I'm doing great. In fact, if I was a parent, I am a parent, but if I had kids in school, I would be really excited right now because we're already talking about them getting out of the house.
I mean, you know, we have a calendar on the wall, and I tell you, don't the days seem to go by faster than the weeks than they used to? It's incredible.
Oh, yeah, gosh,
we're
yes.
talking back to school. When I was a kid, I think we started first week in September, you know, but of course, the calendar has moved up, and boy, those are the days before air conditioning, Gabby, and all that stuff, you know.
That's right.
We were tough in those
days.
Thank you. but yeah, back to school.
And we liked
here.
It. Yeah.
Okay.
One of the things we do, when we have two back-to-school sections. The first one is in the July 22nd issue, and we kind of highlight the new principals, and there are 11 so far in the Archdiocese of New Orleans at different schools throughout the Archdiocese. And we do little brief bios on each of the men and women who are the new school leaders. And they're really fascinating. Talk about their background and what they hope to accomplish in their new positions. So it's a good chance to get to know who our school leaders are. And we also have something back in late April, the Archdiocese honored 54 alumni of Catholic schools, elementary and high schools, that were represented or selected by their individual schools for Distinguished Alumni Award.
Ah.
And it's really fascinating to see these people gone on to, you know, to careers, you know, not in Catholic schools, but in life and in business, and how they're giving back to, you know, to their community and to their church parishes. So that's also a great little feature in our back-to-school issue. Plus, Ursuline Academy, the students there developed sails for boats in Haiti. And it's really a fascinating story of how they designed them and made them, fabricated them, and then got them sent to Haiti. So good little stories in our back-to-school issue.
For what in Haiti?
For Haitian fishermen.
Really?
They're out on the water, and sails are a very hot commodity, and they decided, the club there said, we're going to design these sails for boats so fishermen can do their craft. And
it's a beautiful
thing what they're doing, you know, at Ursuline.
Wow, that is very original. I have never heard anything like that.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah.
So activity has really picked up for the beginning of the school year. You know, Peter, my wife and I were at St. Joseph's Abbey just this weekend, and we went to Vespers. I think everybody should go there. It's 5:30 every day if you get a chance to go to Vespers at the Abbey. It's just beautiful. And we had the happiness and to see the new elected abbot of the Abbey coming down after they had finished chanting. It was a beautiful time. There's a whole lot of them there. Talk about that.
I tell you, it's a fascinating experience, and of course, there's only the sixth abbot in more than 100 years at St. Joseph's Seminary.
Gosh.
And Father Gregory Bouquet, who has been the rector of St. Joseph's Seminary College for the last 25 years. He was elected by his own community to be their leader, to be the abbot going forward. And he said it was a humbling experience to, you know, this is not a thing where you throw your hat in the ring and you politic for votes or anything like that.
Right.
He said it's the group for praise, and they ask for the Holy Spirit and to discern who they think could be their leader for the next many years. And so he was selected. They met on the second floor of the monastery, and it only took about an hour, and all the monks came out of the monastery and walked toward the Abbey Church with the bells were pealing, and had a beautiful prayer service, and Abbot Gregory, who will be officially installed September 17th, he was just saying how humble and overwhelmed he was, and he just hopes that he will serve as God intends him to do, and there'll be a new rector at the seminary college. Archbishop Amon and the board of trustees will get together and and because Father Gregory will not be the rector going forward.
Uh-huh. So, so the bishop determines the new rector. Okay, I see.
They'll have a new rector. Okay. But he's a great guy and tremendous man. He is visually impaired when he reads and sings the office. Mm-hmm. He has to hold his book very close to his eyes. But this is the kind of thing that this man is so special. He just everyone loves him who has come in contact with him, and he has just any kind of a visual disability has not affected him at all. He's just a tremendous person, and he takes over for Abbot Justin Brown,
right,
who's another great guy. And he's Abbot Justin is kind of like the Abbot General for the entire Benedictine order in the United States, in Canada, and in Mexico. So
I didn't know
a lot
okay.
going on at St.
Wow. Ben. Wow, that is a lot going on. And the position of abbot is no minor deal. There is a lot going up there at St. Joseph's, huh?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And a lot of times on the North Shore with confirmation, the abbot will be the person who actually confers the confirmation to students. So Abbot Gregory will be seen, very, very often, especially on the North Shore at confirmation liturgies.
Just one of the roles. My goodness. All right.
That's
let's get into another headline that you have here that it's pretty promising and it gives me great hope. It's about the movie The Sound of Freedom. It's making money at the box office, and some of the other movies that we thought were going to make big money, this one's doing better. Talk about that.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's a box office hit, and really it details a real life, true life story, I think, as people probably understand, of Tim Ballard, who was a Homeland Security official. He felt compelled to kind of leave his job because he wanted to go further and search for these two siblings in Honduras who were enslaved, for sexual purposes. These are two minors, and so the story tells that story. Now, it's very interesting. Father Jeff Bahi, a Baton Rouge priest who has just recently retired,
uh-huh.
and of course 5 years ago he founded Metanoia
right.
Manor,
mm-hmm.
which takes care of minor female trafficking victims, and right now they have 11 at the manor in the Baton Rouge diocese. And he said the movie was great. He believes every part of it, and he loved the movie. He said the only thing is, It may leave a distorted reality that this is all happening elsewhere, so in some Central American country. He said the reality is happening right in our own backyard.
Wow.
And he said of the 82 children who have gone through Metanoia Manor, 78 have been from the United States, and the large percentage come specifically from Louisiana. So
gosh.
It's not just like. But it's not like, and there are immigrants coming, through the southern border. But he said, it's really family members selling their children for sexual favors.
Right here in the United States, you're saying.
Right here in the United States, and it's
right here in Louisiana.
It's happening in plain sight. And so he said he is traveling around the country trying to raise money to replicate his Metanoia Manor in other dioceses around the country. So it's a very interesting take on human trafficking. But the movie, he said he loved the movie, and he would encourage everyone to see it.
My goodness. All right. We're kind of running out of time, but you have an article about the Knights and the Ladies of St. Peter Claver. Talk about that.
Yes. They held their annual convention with all their different entities, the Ladies Auxiliary and the Junior Knights. The junior crew also met,
mm-hmm.
and Cardinal Wilton Gregory did the mass and homily at the convention, and he just said how graced the church is that the Knights of Peter Claver were formed. They were formed in 1909 in Mobile, and they've been they're headquartered in New Orleans. But they had hundreds of people at this convention, and it was a great affirmation of everything that Black Catholics have meant to the church.
That's what. It's an understatement. There's a whole lot going on there, and you're saying that the convention was in New Orleans itself, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
It was in New Orleans,
okay.
And they had a lot of different workshops and speeches and things like that. And
that's fantastic.
Chance for people to get together and say, hey, what can we do to move the church forward and really to help our own our own growth in the faith.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here comes the magic question. What's your favorite feature? What's your favorite article? And don't say back to school.
I tell you what, Christine Bordelon wrote a beautiful story about the Brothers of the Sacred Heart and the Sisters of St. Joseph kind of coming together in Baton Rouge. You know, they're using this kind of like the brothers and the sisters are in the house on 100 Oaks Lane. And they talked about how close the two communities have been of religious mm-hmm. men and women and how they're helping people. So that was a really nice story.
That's true, because the schools where they teach are right within a few blocks of each other there.
So I can almost hit my pitching wedge between Catholic High and
pitching wedge
and St. Joseph Academy.
That's right. I never heard it put that way, but they're right there. You can see each other. That's right.
That's right.
All right, Peter, where can we get your issues?
You can get it at church this weekend in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, every parish. You can go online right now. The electronic edition is up on clarionherald.org.
Fantastic. Well, Peter Finney, once again, thank you for joining us with the Clarion Herald.
Thank you.
And we will talk to you again really soon.
Thank you, David.
Great. All right, it's half past the hour. When we come back, Johnny is going to be talking to Father Chris Decker right here on Wake Up.
You bet. Good morning. You tuned your heart to the truth. It's a good Wednesday morning. Get ready. The Lord's got something special for you today. One thing you need to do, tell your friends, your family about tuning in to Catholic Community Radio. Yes, that's what we're here for. And this morning, we're really excited to have someone who we hear the gospel from every morning, Father Chris Decker, who is the pastor at St. Mary's in False River in New Roads, also our director of mission here at Catholic Community Media, to talk about Eucharistic devotion. Good morning, Father Chris.
Yeah. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's nice to be live on the radio and pre-recorded. I don't know if they know that, you know, that we've now we figured out years one and two, because you're on a two-year cycle for readings, and Jeff has masterfully made me sound forever young.
You've given it all away. You gave away our secret. Everybody thought you were here the whole time.
Man, how does he do that? Speaking of that, you know, Father, I think one day when your sainthood's being considered, they're going to all be figuring out how you got from one part of the world to another so quickly. I mean, it's like you're all over the place. Yeah, you are.
That's right. Digital technology is that way. But that's also the beauty of the Eucharist, too, actually. How can our Lord remain with us and yet be at the right hand of the Father?
Oh, nice time.
The Eucharist.
Nice
time.
Yeah. Yeah, before we jump into the devotion, I want to ask you this real quick, because there's still a lot of confusion out there about Catholics, about what this whole national Eucharistic revival is all about. We're in the midst of it, and yet there's still a lot of uncertainty. So what are we in right now in terms of this revival?
Well, as you know, the U.S. bishops called for a Eucharistic revival in the wake of the time in which we didn't go to church for so long, and now that we've all kind of come back out of our homes and we're headed back to church, there's always an opportunity to grow deeper into perhaps something that we have taken for granted. I know many people, they talked about how hungry they were for the Eucharist. Being unable to receive every Sunday during what was that, almost 2 years of the pandemic. And so the U.S. bishops wisely said, well, let us revive our belief in the Eucharist, let us revive our trust in the Eucharist, and let us once again return to the Eucharist, right? The beautiful thing about all of the sacraments, all seven of them, is that none of the sacraments can be received virtually. You can't virtually be baptized, you can't virtually go to confession, you can't do it over the phone, and you can't virtually receive the Eucharist. We can certainly ask for a spiritual communion, but it's not the same thing as coming into the presence of the sacraments. And that is because Jesus himself is the Word made flesh. He incarnates himself so that he can be in actual, personal, physical relationship with humanity, with us. because that's what God wants. He wants a closeness to us that is even taking on our own humanity. That's why it's so just mind-blowing that Jesus does that. Mm-hmm. And so the sacraments are the ways in which he remains with us. And so that's why they're person to person. That's why we have a priesthood, and that's why the priest, the deacon, the bishop, are the ones who are mediators of that covenant, who bring Christ to us in the sacraments. And so the Eucharistic revival is a way to once again come into the presence of the Eucharist. The long answer for a short question.
And you were starting to talk about this this reality, I guess, this our Lord being truly present in a way that's difficult to understand, but yet it's quite intimate and real. Talk about how that applies, makes, enlivens our life. In other words, if he comes to us in that way, he's not something out there, right? He's within us. And talk about how that has such deep actual meaning and application in everyday life of a Catholic.
Yeah, I think that we live in a world where we do try to be virtually present to everything. You know, we can sit behind our computers, we can make Zoom calls and things like that. But God wants to be present with us, and he wants to dwell within us. He wants to make his tabernacle within us, just as there's the tabernacle in the church where the Blessed Sacrament remains, where the Lord waits for us, the red lamp burns to remind us of that. God wants to communicate himself to us really, truly, and personally, and the Eucharist is, of course, the most intimate way that that happens. We know that the Eucharist is the sacrificial offering of Jesus's body, blood, soul, and divinity. Even though it appears as bread and wine, Jesus tells us by his own words that he is going to provide a way for us to receive him. And that's exactly what happens in the Eucharist. It's not just, I often say, like, the Eucharist is not just swag. It's not stuff we all get proof that we went to church. But rather, it is our Lord himself finding a way to communicate himself perfectly and truly unto us. And that is, I would say, an antidote for loneliness that so many of us experience in the world today. And that's also why we are called to be a parish church, right? While we are a universal church, is that we all, I often say, limp towards heaven together. Mm-hmm. And the way that we find strength is by receiving the Eucharist together. And of course, it's worth saying, that's also why we receive the Eucharist in full communion with the church. So that means that we're in full communion with the church. We've fasted an hour. Right. We've received absolution for any mortal sins we've committed. And only then do we receive the Eucharist, because we have to be in what we call a state of grace to receive the Eucharist. Just as we can be in the near occasion of sin, we have to be not just in the near occasion of grace, but in the state of grace, so that God can give us all of those gifts of his presence that he wants. Some of the ones that we feel or we experience, many of the ones that we don't. And because when we receive the Eucharist, not only are we receiving God himself, the one who made us, the one who made the universe, but we're also professing we believe everything the church believes. That's why we call it Holy Communion.
Communion.
Because we're in communion with God and each other, you know?
Yeah. Right, right.
You know, I was really moved by the daughter at their parish just had a vacation Bible school, and they got feedback from the kids what was their favorite thing, and many of the kids said the Eucharistic the devotion going to that.
Oh yeah, adoration.
Adoration. And
little,
so
little
talk
kids
about that.
Going to adoration, Johnny?
No, they were in awe of just the entire they felt drawn to it, even as they were because they did like a little tour, you know, explain it to them.
Yeah. Okay.
And how I think it ties into our gospel today, you know, this little children. So talk about if someone says, "Well, I've heard about Eucharistic devotion. I might want to go, but I feel really hesitant." What would you tell people who
Well, I can only tell you what St. John Vianney says, right? There was a little old man who would come into the church and make his visit to the Blessed Sacrament every day. He'd come in, he would sit before the tabernacle, and he would just sit there. And St. John Vianney walked up to him one day. He said, "What is it about this? Why is this so important to you?" And he says, "Father, I look at him, and he looks back at me, and it is good for my soul." And when you have children who don't have a filter, right, they can perceive realities deeper than we can. You know, if a child talks about having, you know, seen an angel or seen one of the saints or seen a deep mystery or something, we usually laugh it off.
Right.
I'm telling you, they see more than we do.
They do. They see
absolutely. Yeah. And so when you have that childlike innocence in the presence of God himself, especially if it's in the midst of a beautifully celebrated liturgy, because, you know, the Eucharistic adoration liturgy, there is a paraliturgy that's attached to that. It's very beautiful. It's very simple. But when you add to that the incense, when you add to that the use of candles, when you add to that the beautiful monstrance, all of a sudden children begin to kind of step up to the veil of heaven.
Yeah.
And something, that is why they think
big
that
is going on. Right.
And we see it not only in children, but we also see it in young people who are trying to find their way to the church, try to find their way to receiving the sacraments. They are drawn in by the beauty of, I dare say it, mystery. Because if you think about a relationship, if God wants a relationship with us, then every relationship kind of tiptoes up to the edge of mystery, and that's what keeps you coming back. Not all the things you perceive, but the stuff that you can't quite put your finger on. That is a deep relationship, and that's what the Eucharist offers us. And that's why Jesus gives us something that is ultimately mysterious. How is he present? Well, because he says it. And why is it bread and wine? Well, because it's mysterious how he could do that. And that is the basis of the relationship. Wow.
Wow. We need a, well, we wanted a quick blessing. Could we have, Father, with about 15 seconds?
Sure. May Almighty God bless all of you this day. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Check Father Decker out up. If you're anywhere in the Falls River area, go to Mass there. It's a beautiful ceremony. Beautiful liturgies up there. Father Decker, take care of yourself. Stay with us. Michael Borg's going to be with us. Talk about...
It is 48 past the hour. You're listening to Wake Up right here on Catholic Community Radio. I'm Gabby Smith along with Johnny Hebert and David Dawson. Our next guest is Michael Borg. Michael is the executive director over at St. Vincent de Paul in New Orleans, here to give us an update. Good morning, Michael. Thank you for being with us today.
Why, good morning, Gabby. Thank you for allowing us to participate in this awesome ministry.
Well, we are supporters of St. Vincent de Paul and looking for ways that we can help those who really need help, especially this time of year. So let's start off with a few of your updates, but particularly I want to get an update on how the Love and Service Gala was for you guys.
Oh, thank you for asking. It was awesome. You know, we celebrated 170 years of service to God's people. And we had over 200 people and raised a lot of wonderful money for our emergency relief fund. It was awesome.
That's amazing. Well, a wonderful way to support St. Vincent de Paul. And one of the updates that I was interested in learning more about was a truck that you guys were in need for with the thrift store over in New Orleans. Can you kind of give us an update on how that's going and what the truck will be used for?
Well, I can say Habemus Carum, which you can't say a Econoline 350 box truck in Latin, but you can say carriage.
Habemus Carum. That is original there. I like that.
We have a truck. We're so, I can't tell you how excited we are. You know, we had hundreds of people donate because we had to raise $80,000 in order to buy the truck, which we did. It was just the outpouring of support from the local community was awesome. But also, I do want to mention two people, if y'all don't mind. One, the Daughters of Charity, through their ministry foundation, gave us the lead gift for the truck, as well as the Alden and Margaret Laborde Foundation down here in New Orleans. They were just incredibly generous people. And then again, the hundreds of others that donated to the project. And the best part is the new truck has a lift gate on it, because when I first got here, our old truck didn't. And I watched two employees of our thrift store try to lift a piano onto the back of the old truck.
Ouch.
And I said, never again.
That's right.
Oh, no. Well, Michael, what is the truck going to be used for?
Well, two things, really. One, we pick up objects that that people donate to us that we sell at the store, and then the money from those sales go towards, again, our emergency relief fund. But also, we work with the Paul USA, which is a rapid rehousing group here in New Orleans. And when they are putting someone in a house, sometimes we will take stuff from our store. Just, you know, we go into the floor of the store, and if they need a table and two chairs and they need a sofa, we just throw those on the back of our truck, or they need a bed. And then we bring that in when those newly housed folks, they at least have some furniture in their apartment. So we do those kinds of things with the truck. Yeah.
Wonderful.
So, Michael, if people want to donate something, they can actually call you guys and you can go pick it up from their house?
Yep. That's what we do. They just call our thrift store and they'll make an appointment with you to do that.
That's great. I absolutely love that, especially if you have big items. I remember my mom doing that as kids, and hauling all of our toys from the last, you know, Christmas or birthdays, and watching it all be put in a truck. So
y'all need
I love
lift
that you
for
have that,
that
service.
So.
No, I just it was just
Gabby?
Boxes.
Many, oh, okay.
I just remember it. So let's talk about your new adult learning center, or it's actually a new grant for the adult learning center. Tell us a little bit about this center and, of course, how the grant will help it.
Sure. So the Sister Lori Schaff Adult Learning Center has, since about 2007, we have worked with over 700 folks to get their high school GED, right? Mm. So that they could then apply for and obtain better work because they had that basic certification now. Or we do things there like teach them computer skills or basic math skills, anything that's going to help them improve their opportunity. But what the new grant that we just received is going to do is to help us then train them in how to do an interview, help them write their resumes, do mock interviews with them, all that kind of stuff, and then help them set up appointments for job interviews. Once they get the job, what we do is we then track them for a year, and the employer knows that if they're having some issues with that person, they can come back to us, and we'll help support. Right? So we really are trying to take the next step of getting people employed. And even part of that is we give them, if they go through the program and they get a job interview, they get a voucher to go to our thrift store and get any kind of new outfit that they would like to wear on that job
That's
interview
cool.
so they can look a little more professional, you know? So, yeah.
Nothing
just really
like a new outfit.
I like that.
Yeah, to bring your confidence on a new job.
True.
I love
that's
that.
True.
No, that's so great. Mm-hmm. And so how do people get started on that? And is the center a physical location?
Yes, it is. It is in our building on 3500 Canal Street. It's the first floor of our building, and then the second floor are our offices. And there we have two incredible nuns, one a Sister of Notre Dame and one a Daughter of Charity, who run the center for us. And then the new program we're hoping, we think he's willing to work with us, is a Vincentian who had taught in the public schools in alternative education. And so those three folks are going to be leading the charge there.
Wow, absolutely amazing. Well, let's also talk about something that's quite important. Your calls for basic emergency assistance have increased dramatically. Can you tell us a little bit about what this means?
Well, the only way to put it is, say in our office, we receive direct calls too. We used to get about 100 calls a month. Mm-hmm. We're getting now about 75 calls a week.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Wow.
And it's just, you know, it's the big double whammy.
Yeah.
Right now. One, we have inflation, which is putting huge pressure on people to, you know, people who are living at the margin.
Yep.
You know, they don't have that extra 4 or 5% a lot of times. And so it becomes this game of which bill do they pay this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have that. And then also food benefits, right, which increased during COVID because a lot of people needed that extra help because they weren't working.
Right.
Well, that's now starting to go away for everybody. So it's that double whammy plus things like the energy, you know, through, you know, this really unusually hot summer.
Oh, I know my bill's about doubled right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can only imagine.
Well,
right.
Right. Think about that if you're on a fixed income and there's no way that you can make that extra, right?
Right.
So we're getting people with electricity bills like $900 kind of thing.
Oh, my goodness.
But,
But one of the things that I want people to understand is if they see their poor box in the back of church, especially if it says St. Vincent de Paul, but any poor box in the back of church, because every parish has a social ministry, even if they don't have a St. Vincent de Paul. And that's the money that helps these people meet these needs, right?
Mm.
Unfortunately, we are out of time. I want to reference people to the website, svdpneworleans.org, to find out more information. Michael Borg with St. Vincent de Paul, New Orleans. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Please support this ministry.
Indeed.
You're helping others.
You bet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, let's go out in prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many opportunities that will be offered to us today and have been offered to live out our vocation and to build the kingdom of God. We ask only for your love and humble heart to accept your will. We pray this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Wednesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.